an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I want to first thank Bev Capshaw, both for hosting last Wednesday in my absence and for delivering an extraordinary, often poignant show, shining a light on a new program called Pet Peace of Mind. My guest today is Lee Asher, a staunch advocate of dog rescue and adoption. Asher's profile has been rising dramatically in the last few years, owing to a handful of factors, including a compelling story. He crisscrossed the country in an RV for 2 years, traveling to animal shelters, joined on this journey by his own pack of 10-plus dogs, while further similar travels ultimately yielded the Animal Planet series, My Pack Life. Asher has now settled in Oregon, where he operates 2 animal sanctuaries and has involvement in a third. Tally up the animals across those 3 facilities and arrive at around 200. Dogs and cats mostly, but also horses, alpacas, goats, and assorted others. Speaking of numbers, not surprising, Asher has cultivated a significant social media presence, including nearly 2 million Instagram followers. Now in his mid-30s, Asher forged a strong connection with dogs as a kid growing up in Broward County, contending with a powerful attention deficit disorder. School was enormously challenging and isolating. He started visiting a Broward County animal shelter. Thus, the seeds were planted for the grown-up Lee Asher, who would bring the childhood canine connection into the RV treks, the TV series, the sanctuaries, the lectures, and other efforts to promote animal adoption. I'll speak with that Lee Asher in a moment here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Meanwhile, coming up later in today's program, I'll speak with Dara Eckhart, CEO of Friends of Strays, which has organized a free microchip and vaccine clinic for dogs this Saturday, April 27th in St. Petersburg. We'll hear more about the clinic and what all is offered for the participants when Dara Eckhart joins us in a bit later in the show. Right now, though, let's talk dogs and more with Lee Asher, with a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Lee Asher, the Talking Animals on WMNF. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
For sure. So there's a lot to discuss here, and it seems fitting that I'm in Florida speaking with you, given that Florida figures prominently into the Lee Asher story and your connection with dogs. So let's start there. Tell me about growing up in Broward County.
Yeah, I just actually got back to Oregon a couple of weeks ago. I was back in Florida for a friend's wedding, and it brought back so many memories. I forgot how much I love it. I really miss Florida, and it's always a pleasure to be back. This was my first time back in a few years.
Oh, wow.
Growing up, in the last time I was there, actually, I was traveling in an RV, calling people, hoping someone would let me stay in their backyard with my 9 dogs at the time. Now it's a little bit more than that. It's 140. So of course we're not traveling in an RV anymore.
For sure.
But growing up in Florida was beautiful. You know, I don't think I really realized how good I had it at the time. I moved out of Florida when I was 17, but you know, I spent a lot of time going to the beach. I was alone a lot. So I did a lot of things that brought me peace and allowed me to kind of visualize the future that I wanted for myself. And I spent a lot of time going to the beach and eventually a lot of time going to shelters. At the time when I was younger, you know, I didn't know that puppy stores and pet stores were kind of the opposite of the direction I was going to believe in. But at the time, I just wanted to be around dogs. So I would even go to puppy stores to look at the puppies all the time. And it was quite the experience. But I really spent as much time as possible at the ocean, dog parks, shelters, puppy stores, things like that. And it's still the same to this day, minus the puppy stores.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're not really keen on puppy stores or puppy mills and stuff. But like you say, at the time, you didn't know necessarily like that's what that difference is. You, there were dogs there and you wanted to be with dogs, it sounded like.
Exactly. I mean, I was when I say I was a kid, I mean, when I was excited to go to a puppy store, we're talking, you know, 9, 10 years old. I didn't know any better. You know?
For sure. So along those lines, how do you feel about discussing the attention deficit disorder you contended with as a kid?
How do I feel about discussing it?
Yeah.
I'm very transparent about it, and I think that vulnerability is power. I think the more vulnerable you're able to be, the more confident you are. I think our quote-unquote flaws, if you will, because they call it a disability, is the most beautiful thing about a human being. It's what makes them unique and separates them from everyone else. So when you ask how I feel about talking about them, I'm proud to discuss them now because I have a completely different point of view and mindset about my learning disabilities now than I had of them when I was a kid.
For sure. Well, part of the reason I bring it up, or is it seems related to what you just mentioned there, that it was sort of pivotal to the connection that you did forge with animals. You talked about going to the beach, but you also talked about going to shelters. And it sounds like you were seeking dog companionship, maybe partly as a result of feeling a bit isolated, which was it ADHD or was it something else?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
ADHD, yeah.
Yeah, very familiar with that. My son has that as well. So, yeah, there's some challenges, obviously, that go with that beyond the most immediate ones. And so it sounded like that kind of sent you looking for connections of other kinds since it was hard to maybe function in a school environment as much as you might have liked to.
That's exactly right. You know, everybody, it doesn't matter how tough someone tries to be or whatever their story is, love and connection is a necessity. It doesn't matter if you have a learning disability or if you're the smartest person in the world, which would also make someone feel very isolated. Love and connection is a necessity and a priority. And when I was younger, I just felt so different. You know, I really can't explain it. It's like I felt so different, and I really just wanted to belong. I wanted to be a part of the group. You know, like I would see all these kids talking about movies and talking about comic books or cartoons. Everyone was always discussing something. I wasn't interested in any of that. I just wanted to talk about Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, and Animal Planet, and dogs, and what's your favorite breed, and pretending to be a dog. No one wanted to do that with me.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, and I just felt extremely alone. I really did. I felt extremely alone. And
sounds like that's what sent you towards dogs.
100%, because when I would go to the shelter, when I started going to animal shelters, one of the first things I realized is they're alone, you know, they're alone. You know, these days, it really shows you how different things are. Which is not a good thing. What I'm about to say is not a positive. But these days, you go to an animal shelter, they're so full that there's 2, 3, 4 dogs in the kennels. But once upon a time, you know, 20-something years ago, it wasn't that way. At least I don't remember it that way. And the dogs were alone in the kennel. And I just said, wow, you know, I'm not the only one who's like that. Why are they here?
Yeah,
and I remember for a long time, until I got some guidance at the shelter. For a long time, I thought they were there because maybe they were in trouble, you know. And I remember I asked the woman at the front desk one day. I said, "What did they do wrong to be here?" She said, "Oh, honey, they didn't do anything wrong. Their owners didn't want them anymore." Mm. And that's when I really started to think about, you know, myself and being discarded and not wanted. And that's when I really started to form these bonds and relationships with the dogs there. I used to start reading to them and just sitting next to them and promising, you know, I remember really feeling like it was the first time I made a promise that I knew I was going to keep. And I would promise them, I'm going to save them one day. I said, I promise you, I'm going to save you one day, you know? And I never stopped thinking about those words. I never stopped thinking about that promise.
That's a powerful moment because it's a promise that you obviously kept in a gigantic way. And it could have, you know, could have been easy to get deterred along the way with one thing or another. I mean, that was, you know, decades ago, probably or thereabouts.
Oh, so. Absolutely. And it did. You know, of course, I went in different career paths with, but I always had the outcome to fulfill that promise. You know, like most people, when I post the video on social media, you know, without fail, you're going to see a comment from someone saying, when I retire, I'm going to do what you do. Or if I hit the lottery, I'm going to do what you do. It's a very, very common mindset to think that when you have enough, you'll do enough. But what people don't realize is it's not true. Because if something's really important to you, really important to you, you're not going to wait to do it. And if these people who say, if I won the lottery, I would do it, what they don't understand or realize, because they're not being honest with themselves, and I'm not saying this to be hurtful, I'm just saying this to be honest. Yeah. Is that they wouldn't open up an animal sanctuary if they won the lottery. They wouldn't. You're going, no matter what you have or don't have, you are going to make sure that you fulfill your purpose, that you do what your mission is in life. And if you don't have a mission ever, then just because you win the lottery doesn't mean you're going to all of a sudden have one. You're still going to be focusing on the things that you focused on. They're just going to be a little bit more extravagant if you have the money.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, I was going to ask you this, and this might fit in perfectly. Can you just sort of trace the arc for me, if you will, from the life in Florida? You said you left around 17.
Yeah.
To working in the financial field, because it seems like that in itself is a brief sort of detour from kind of what your mission may have not been clear in your head at the time, but obviously you had mentioned promising the dogs, and so you went on this path. And was that at least part because back then, maybe you felt like, hey, my efforts with dogs, I love dogs, I love being with dogs, I want to help dogs. But maybe that's, I don't know if that's a way to make a living. I don't know if that constitutes a career. So that partly what sent you kind of off in this other direction temporarily?
Well, 100%. It never, frankly, to be fully transparent, I never even had the thought about working with dogs that it could be a career. At that point in my life, it was not possible. I wasn't a dog trainer. I wasn't a TV personnel. You know, I just spent a lot of time with dogs, which really, we're talking about full immersion, which I didn't know any better. I was learning more about dogs than any kind of school could teach you because I was always with them. But I want to point something out that's important. There was never a time in my life that I wasn't spending time either rescuing dogs, fostering dogs, or at the shelter throughout my entire career. Even in college, I rescued a pig. I rescued many different dogs. I was hiding them in my apartment and then getting them adopted. So it was always, I never thought I could make a career out of it or, you know, of course, social media didn't exist. It was always something that I was doing no matter what, right?
Yeah.
It was always something that I was committed to. So when I worked in the financial industry, I was still bringing my dogs everywhere. I was still going to the shelter after work, and wherever I was going, I was bringing my 6-7 dogs with me. So even to work, you know, they would come right into my office. We were getting complaints. I thought all the employees, you know, that worked for me I thought it made their day. And then I started to hear from my manager, like, you really got to stop bringing your dogs in the office. It's scaring people. So I didn't stop bringing dogs. I would only bring less dogs.
That's funny.
But it was always a part of my path, which I really think is how this all unfolded for me.
Yeah.
You know, like it's because I was so, if you're really consistent with something, if you're really going to, you know, you could do all these other things with your life, but if you always are consistent with that one thing, no matter what direction you go, it's kind of eventually going to become, in my opinion, it's what it did for me. It's going to become your overall purpose and mission, your overall dedication, whatever you always feel going back to. You know, if you ask me why I even went into the financial industry, before the financial industry, I was working for a motivational speaker. And I realized that I'm learning that this guy who I was working for really knows how to motivate people. But what about working with people and managing people and what happens after the motivation?
Yeah.
And I learned that I don't I wanted to learn a little bit of everything. So from the motivational industry, I then went to the finance industry to learn more about business. And I was able to kind of combine what I learned from both and then go on to the next phase of my life.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the thing that's essential to your story is that every step of the way, the consistent component was dogs. So it's not like the people right. that you say that are saying, hey, at some point down the road when I retire, when I hit the lotto or whatever, then I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I mean, you were, to the extent you could, you were doing that even when you were at a financial.
You're nailing it. I don't mean to interrupt you, but what you're saying is something that I was trying to say. You're obviously very good at what you do. Thank you for helping me with this. What you're saying.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
You're saying what I wanted to say. But I wasn't able to articulate the words, and I also didn't want to be rude to anyone listening. So here's the real truth. If we're gonna say really what I'm thinking, this is it. If you love dogs so much, and when you're rich, you're gonna open up a shelter and you're gonna donate all this money. Why don't you at least volunteer now? It's free. Why don't you at least go to a shelter? Let's say someone says I don't have time, so you don't have 20 minutes. Twice a week, once a week to go to a shelter just to give dogs some treats.
Yeah.
Like the attention alone, what people don't understand is imagine if you were in a room and nobody ever came to say hi to you. Though if you had one visitor a week, you would be thrilled. That's a dog's life. They're in these kennels. Nobody's walking them. Most shelters, they don't have the staff. It's not their fault. People always blame the people who work there, which I think is a terrible thing to do. These people are the only ones. They're not saying when I'm rich, I'm going to open up a shelter. They're saying I'm going to work for one now and barely make any money. And they get so much crap from people who have no idea what it takes.
Yeah.
And there, if you really cared, you would at least volunteer 20 minutes, 10 minutes, stop by to encourage the staff something. And if you're not going to do what's free, that also doesn't take a lot of time. I promise you, you're not going to do it when you're a big shot, you know, millionaire, because you're going to be the same person you are today.
Yeah. The idea is to do something more than zero, whatever your capabilities are financially or otherwise. And
exactly.
Yeah. Let me let folks know, just who might have tuned in a bit late, who you are and who we're talking with. So this is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you did just tune in, my guest is Lee Asher, stunt advocate of dog rescue and adoption. And with a compelling story and at least two animal sanctuaries, I'm having trouble keeping track. He also starred in the Animal Planet series, My Pack Life. If you have a question for Lee or would like to offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663. Email dj at wnf.org, or you can text us at 813-433-0885. So one of the emails that did come in, Lee says, Lee, I love you, your videos, and your crazy love for animals. I am retired in Florida now, but I'm from the big city close to Estacada, where I think you have your sanctuary. What is that body of water where you take your pack in some of your videos?
Eagle Creek. I was just thinking, Eagle Creek is the body of water where I take them. And thank you for the kind email. Estacada was our first sanctuary. It's our baby. And that was where I opened up our first sanctuary 4 years ago. I can't believe it. But, yeah, that creek, that body of water is called Eagle Creek. And it's very beautiful and secluded, and the dogs just absolutely love it.
For sure. So let's kind of move ahead in the story a little bit. So what precipitated the RV trek? Describe kind of the RV journey for people who may not know about it, and what, like, sort of its purpose and who all joined you on that trip.
Mm-hmm. So about eight years ago, I was really struggling emotionally. I was having a hard time with life. I've always had some issues with depression. Oh, if I could go back on something, you know, on my little rant about volunteering at the shelter,
sure.
I just want to be really clear. I'm not, the last thing I ever want to do is make everyone feel bad or feel guilty. My outcome by my little rant is to be aware and honest and encourage people. It's not to make you feel bad about not doing something. My outcome is to encourage you to do something. not to start a sanctuary, not to open up a shelter. My outcome by my rant, I want to be really clear, is to encourage people not to wait until you have X so that you do Y. Because you don't know what you're going to have. And if you don't win the lottery and you don't become a billionaire, that's not a reason not to dedicate time to giving back, which in my opinion, so many people ask, how do I find my purpose? Your purpose lies within giving. We are all here to make our neighbor's lives better. Our neighbor's lives better. And that neighbor doesn't have to be a person. It should be a person. It should be an animal. It should be any living thing that you feel connected to help. And that's my outcome. So if you have a plan to do good, to do something good in 5 years from now or 10 years from now, we really take that time for granted. Why not start something today? And that's what, so I'm sorry if I made anyone, if I was a little bit aggressive. My outcome was to encourage you to not wait to give back. And it doesn't have to be towards animals. It could be towards people. But I want you to know something. Doing good things in this world, being kind to people and changing lives will make you feel so much better than winning the lottery. There is not a better feeling in the world. I promise you from the bottom of my heart. People say you have this many followers and this. None of that matters. I promise you there is not a better feeling in the world than having a positive impact in this very dark world. Each and every single person listening to this, each and every single person in this world, your sole purpose, we all have the same purpose. Your sole purpose is to be a light, is to be a light in this very dark world. And if every single person finds their light, that is how we make the world brighter, okay? I just want to be very clear about that.
No, I'm glad you clarified, although to me at least, I was sort of just thinking what your main message was like, look, if you're busy and you hope to do something down the road, but if you have, you know, half an hour to go walk the dogs or do anything at your local shelter, do it. And then if you can expand on that over time as your career or personal or financial situation shifts, do more, but don't not do anything in the meantime, which is kind of how I took what you're, it was like just encouraging people to get started just in something very small and manageable and just how much better they'd feel by doing something rather than waiting for like that big moment down the road, which may or may not come.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That, you nailed it. So thank you. I always make sure that I'm understood.
For sure.
So, can you ask me your question again, please?
Yeah, no, I just thought we'd talk briefly about the RV trek, and then I want to move on to...
Sure. So I was really struggling. I was around 27 years old, and I was really having a hard time. And at that time, I was going to shelters after work, as I always did. But then I started getting a little bit more, maybe aggressive with social media. I actually started taking action in social media and posting videos of me going to the shelter. And what I was doing that was different from most people who was going to a shelter, most people would go to a shelter and say, look at this poor dog, this sick dog with one eye. They're going to euthanize. It's so sad here. It's this, it's that, right? So I said, you know, when I go to the shelter, I don't know if I'm what's wrong with me, but when I go to a shelter, I'm in heaven. Like, why, like, I had the same feeling of going to the shelter. Still today, I get the same feeling of going to a shelter as I did when you go to a puppy store and you see the puppies, right? Like, I was so excited. I still get so excited. Sure, it's very sad, you know, that the dogs have been there for a while, but you know, the thing about a dog, and I learned this at the shelter, is like, if you are very sad, then the dog thinks I must be in a pretty bad situation. If you're very sad, the dog is going to be sad. The dog is like, oh man, it must be bad. So I was very happy to see dogs. I love dogs. Now I'm surrounded by dogs. And I was happy, and the dogs were happy. So I started I would make the videos like, look at this beautiful dog, such a good girl, such a good boy, purebred mixed with this, Saint Bernard. I was shining a different type of light at the shelter.
Yeah.
Right?
And no, it was a great, sort of counterbalance to the dreary, depressing commercials, public service announcements that you've seen.
People already know. Yeah. You know, people already know that those dogs that are not well are there.
Yeah.
So I realized, you know, because of the type of marketing that most shelters and rescue people were doing, I learned, thank goodness, through social media that the most common response I was getting is people didn't even know that healthy dogs were at the shelters. People didn't even know that dogs with good behavior and loving dogs were at the shelters. So then I found my calling. If someone doesn't know something and you do, it's a gift to share that with them.
For sure.
So that's how I thought of the idea for the RV. I said, because then, of course, on social media, people say, oh, there's only dogs like that there. And I said, what are you talking about? It's all over the country. And that's how I said, I'm going to get an RV. I'm going to take my rescue dog on a mission across the entire United States. I said, I'm going to do it in 90 days. I'm going to have adoption events. I'm going to have adoption events at the shelters. And I'm going to go inside the shelters to show you all the amazing dogs there are in every city, not in every city, excuse me, in every state across the country. And you're going to see for yourself these amazing dogs. And that's what I did. I got the RV. I quit my job. You know, the reason what I kind of skipped over when I said I was in a bad depression, it's because I realized that I need to make a decision. It was very stressful. It's like, you know, you're not happy. You've never had a job. You know, my first job ever, I was a janitor. It's like you've never had a job that you were happy about. But I said, remind yourself, remember that everything you've ever done is all a part of what you're supposed to do. You have to believe in the future. You have to believe that every step of the way was for you, even the worst steps, the hardest steps. So I said, now it's time to take everything you've done, to take all the pain that you've been through, all your experience, and this is your final mission. Like I knew, like, this is your last step. And coming to that reality is extremely painful, because now you're faced with a decision to stay, which you know what's going to happen. I stay the course. I stay the course, or do I jump and I leap and I go and I do something as crazy enough to quit my well-paying job, ruin relationships with the people who helped me get that job and everything like that, to buy an RV, you know, sell all my stuff, buy an RV and travel. So it's this, we all have those moments to face these huge decisions, to take these big risks. And that decision-making process is scary, man. It's really scary. And it continues to be scary. You know, like, I remember being in the RV, and even though I was growing my audience and I was producing all this content and getting dogs adopted, you think I didn't have so many moments where I'm like, am I living in an RV for, like, what do I do after this?
Yeah.
You know? And not to, I'm not sure what your next question is, but if I could skip ahead, you know, I wouldn't have known what to do if COVID didn't happen. It was COVID that put me in another position. Like, now what are you going to do? I can't travel in an RV anymore. I can't go to shelters. The shelters are closed. So I said, how do I continue? You know, I asked the universe, how do I continue my mission? How do I continue rescuing animals? And that's when I said, now it's time to open up a sanctuary. Audience, and that's what happened.
Well, that was actually my next question, but I was just going to say also that
you see how connected we are? You see how connected we are?
I know. I'm going to try to go on the road with you next time. I'm going to meet up with you at some of these venues.
I'm picking you up, brother. I'm picking you up. I hope you don't have any allergies. I'm coming to get you.
No. That sounds great. Because, you know, the thing is, as difficult as it was, you were doing something with dogs all along, as you've kind of already stated, and you had at least a small pack with you back then at every step of the way. So once you kind of said, I got to face the music here, I'm really not happy in this job or in the life that I got with this job. To me, it's not that many degrees of separation from what you had been doing all along to saying, okay, RV, here's an idea, something that's going to promote dog adoption. I'm going to take my dogs with me. And next thing you know, I'm going to have some real impact. And then the other steps will sort of become clear to me as I go, whether it's because of COVID or whatever. I'll just know where to go because it's always dogs.
Boy, I sure wish I had you to tell me that when I was trying to decide to do it or not. I would have saved me a lot of stress.
Well, it's easy for me to say now, but I do think what you said early on was really crucial, which is that instead of waiting for the right time or when you come into a big wad of dough or whatever, do the thing to whatever extent you can along the way. So that's what you were doing. So it wasn't as big a leap. I'm sure it was agonizing to make that kind of career switch, but it wasn't like you looked around and said, well, I don't know where I'm going to go if I quit this financial job. It's like, hey, I've got six dogs looking right at me saying, I know exactly where you're going to go.
Right. Right, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about the Asher House. How would you characterize Asher House in contrast to other sanctuaries most of us might be familiar with?
The biggest difference, I believe, that there's a few. One of the major differences that I think makes the Asher House so special is the community. Asher House has become a community. It's become a statement of goodness, showing the world that goodness always prevails. Showing the world to believe in yourself and believe in others. And most importantly, to turn pain into purpose. And that's animals, that's us, it's each other. You know, we have done such a good job as a community to show the world that there is still so much kindness left within each other.
Yeah.
There is still so much kindness. The media, the news, social media, You can't turn left, right, up, down without seeing pain. You know, things that just, why would anyone do that? How could someone do that? We don't focus on that. We focus on the good. Even when it comes to a story of a dog, I never tell people the cruelty that the dog has faced. I'll skip over it like this dog was abused, but I never say like this dog was hit with a shovel and da 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 da. They don't need to know. I want that. It's just like how I was showing the dogs at the shelter in the beginning. It's the positive light, the moving forward. We don't focus. A dog never focuses on their story, but people are really caught up in stories. What's the dog story? What have you been through? This is what I've been through. I'm all about moving forward. That's always what I tell someone on my team when they come to me with a problem. I make sure by the end of the conversation, we're talking about moving forward. We're moving forward, right? Let's just keep moving forward. That's what it's all about. And that's what the Asher House does. We have always moved forward. And that's why the RV is such a beautiful significance to the mission. And I'll tell you why. I can't tell you the struggles I faced in the RV. If anyone has ever lived in an RV, I'm not one, which I wish I was different. This is something I really wish I would have changed about myself. I'm not one to really do a lot of research in something. So when I bought an RV, I didn't think to myself, I'm living in a ticking time bomb, right? Driving on the road. So I had so many problems with the RV, running out of this breaking, this. And it really taught me to have years of real struggle. And now I, like, everyone sees me say, wow, I wish I had his life. I wish I had his life. I miss the struggles that I had in the RV. Like, I couldn't wait after a year. I could not wait to get out of the RV. Now I wish I could go back in. Metaphorically speaking, of course, that wouldn't change what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But it was all the bumpy roads, all the turmoil, all of it was to come to get here and to continue to build, you know?
No, absolutely. It's so much of your story is about just a journey leading to another journey, a little bump in the road, peeling off to the left a little bit, then continuing that journey. And
exactly. And second and third and fourth chances. You know, going back to the question about what about the Asher House, you don't really see, there's a sanctuary in Costa Rica ran by a woman named Leah Battle, who is a phenomenal woman. Leah Battle is just an amazing woman with a heart of gold. And, you know, besides her sanctuary in Costa Rica, you don't, as far as in the U.S. especially, you're not going to see any other sanctuary or shelter, hundreds of dogs. You know, we have anywhere between 100 to 200 dogs, different breeds, different stories, all different sizes, different everything. all together as one, moving as a family, as a giant pack through big, beautiful fields, swimming in the lake. You don't see it, right? And I show people that to show the possibilities,
yeah.
You know, to show the possibilities, not just for the dogs, but for you. You can do anything.
Yeah.
What I'm doing now as a kid, it's not on paper. You can't apply for this type of job. You can create, you know, your purpose isn't necessarily going to be drawn out for you. A lot of the times your purpose is a blank canvas that you have to fill as you get older and as you experience life. It's your canvas and it's your mission and your dream.
For sure. No, and I think the key thing is animals, as you described, are so resilient. So the ones that have been through some tough times, they adapt and they're ready.
And so are you.
Exactly.
So are you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's exactly
you know,
what I mean.
So are you, and so is every person listening to this call. 100% dogs are resilient, but so are we.
Yeah.
You have been through it all. You have been through things, I'm sure. Everyone listening has been through so many things, and here you are now doing your thing.
Yeah.
Like, we are resilient. Dogs are resilient.
For sure.
You know?
This is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Lee Asher, a passionate dog rescue advocate who runs the animal sanctuary called the Asher House, starting the Animal Planet series My Pack Life, and we'll be presenting some programs in Florida entitled Unlock Your Superpower, various Florida venues, including the Capitol Theater in Clearwater on May 31st. So we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. So speaking of Florida, we kind of circle back to Florida in a way. Obviously, you have a lot of fans and followers, and, of course, social media in particular we've talked about. In the last few days, I've seen more than a few things regarding me mentioning that I was doing this interview with you coming up. More than a few have mentioned the possibility of you opening a Florida sanctuary. Can you sort of talk to that for a sec?
Yeah, I mean, it look, for me, think about how beautiful that would be for me.
Yeah.
Really. Of course, it's about the dogs, like, with all due respect to Florida.
Yeah.
But the thing is, California, on the west side, California, and then most of the states in the south really need a lot of help when it comes to the laws and teaching people about, you know, animal rescue and the importance of life when it comes to animals and dogs. But to me, opening up a sanctuary in Florida would be such a dream come true. And I have no doubt it's going to happen one day. When? That really depends on the direction of the Asher House as far as the support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone said, hey, we have this land, it's, you know, 50 something acres, whatever, I'm a huge animal advocate, and we could start building that would be a wonderful thing one day.
Sure.
But at this point where we're at now, it's not something that we're looking for, like, a real estate agent to open. It's going to be
right.
A couple of years.
It's on the horizon, but it's not happening anytime soon.
Exactly. But I could say it's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of when. We have, as you mentioned, a few locations here. Some, we just began construction in Oregon, and we have to finish what we've started before we move on to something else.
For sure. All right, Lee, we're sort of nearing the end of our time, unfortunately, but I'm going to see if we can work at least one caller into our conversation here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Lee Asher.
Thank you, Duncan. I am so inspired as an old lady that came up caring for animals in my own way, which is to make sure to feed them, leave something, little something in my plate to feed him, as we had a culture that animals were kept in their place and make sure you feed them to keep them alive, and because that's all we could do as poverty exists.
Sure.
But I've grown to admire the spiritual effects of animals. My four grands, they love and care for animals. And I have an elderly neighbor. He's 98 years old. And
wow.
He feeds at least 12 cats daily.
Wow.
Twice a day.
That's awesome.
In his yard, in his backyard.
That's great.
And he feeds the dogs. He cooks a pot of rice and every couple of days. And
nice.
He feeds
the
dogs.
That's wonderful.
So
wonderful.
You are an inspiration. And I in my old days, I rescued a kitten, a kitty cat. And she has come from bad past, I can tell. Because if I have my cane in my hand to go put her food down, she takes off. If I have my umbrella, she takes off. Because so I know she's come from a difficult past. But I am inspired and I'm loved by this kitty cat. Because the way she looks at me and the development of our relationship. And I pray that, yes, you get a sanctuary here in Florida. Tampa have a sort of a sophisticated shelter from what I've heard in the past. So many the requirements and such. But blessings to you, Duncan, and blessings to this young man because he inspired me.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for calling. I'm sorry, we do have to run because we're almost out of time speaking with Lee, but I thank you so much and keep looking after that cat and all the other animals that you're looking after.
Thank you for sharing my love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. So, Lee, in our last moment or so, literally here, unfortunately, can you talk a little bit about these things I kind of alluded to, that you got three different sort of talks coming up in Florida, May 29th in Jacksonville, May 30th in Orlando, and then May 31st, right sort of down the road a piece from where I'm talking to you here in Clearwater at the Capitol Theater on May 31st. Mm-hmm. And the title of the program is Unlock Your Superpowers. So can you just sort of briefly describe that?
My biggest thing that I've learned, one of the biggest things that I've learned is any resentment that you feel towards life, any resentment you feel towards people, our worst moments, the darkest days of our life, our most traumatic experiences, they happened for us. They all happened for us. They were gifts. The darkest days are the best days, but we have to learn how to use it. And when you figure out how to use it, it's your superpower. And due to how busy I am with running the sanctuaries and social media, I don't really have time anymore to connect with my audience on the levels that I used to be able to when I only had 8 or 9 dogs. A huge passion of mine is helping people. It's just as important as helping animals is helping people. And this was an idea to go on tour, to reach as many people as possible, to help them unlock their superpower and connect with them on a different level than I can on social media.
Cool. All right. Well, so let people can find out more about that, the local appearances at theofficialleeasher.com. The other website of note for our sanctuary purposes is theasherhouse.com. Lee, we have reached the end of our time, but I really enjoyed speaking to you. Thank you so much. Good luck. And thank you for all your great work on all behalf of all of our dog friends.
It was a pleasure, Duncan. And again, the ticket is theofficialleeasher.com. I really appreciate your time, Duncan. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care now. In a moment, I'll talk with Dara Eckhart, who leads Friends of Strays in St. Petersburg, about a free microchip and vaccine clinic for dogs they're organized for this Saturday, April 27th. Those who participate get their dog chipped, an array of vaccinations, some dog food, and the St. Pete Free Clinic will be providing one box of human food per party. We'll have that conversation with Dara in just a moment here on Talking Animals. Right now, though, let's step into the Comedy Corner. This is Jeremy Hotz with a piece called Bronx Zoo on Talking Animals on WMNF.
Because they're in the winter, though, it gets cold. That's the thing about New York, am I right? Absolutely. Freezing. In February, I had tickets to the zoo. They were freezing like an asshole. I went, oh, look at that tiger. Look how realistic he looks. Just like in the wild, frozen to the fence like that. Horrible trip that was. The only guy there that day. I saw the elephant fart that day. That was the highlight of my trip to the zoo. Biggest ass in the world farting. You don't see that on the Discovery Channel. Doesn't even sound like one of our songs. It's like this. animals are running behind it to try and keep warm. And the tiger was going, point your ass this way. I'm stuck to the fence. And just melt me off the fence with your huge hot ass. That's exactly what he said. I was there. I speak a little tiger. That's what he said. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. And then it hit me, and it wasn't funny at all. It was an elephant fart right in my face.
All right, that's Jeremy Hotz on Talking Animals with the Peace Corps Bronx Zoo. And right now, we're going to welcome Dara Eckhart to talk to you about this great clinic coming up this Saturday, April 27th. Good morning, Dara.
Good morning, Beckett. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. So let's first just do, in case everyone, not everyone listening is familiar with Friends of Strays, although they should be, of course, let me ask you for a brief overview. What is Friends of Strays? What is its mission and so on?
Friends of Strays is the first no-kill shelter in St. Petersburg, Florida. We just celebrated 45 years last year, and our mission is obviously to save as many lives as possible in Pinellas County and throughout the state of Florida.
Well, that sounds like pretty good, and like you've been doing it pretty long and pretty well, so that's great. So Now, to me, you're offering this clinic is a big, big deal and a great opportunity. So give us the lowdown. What sort of precipitated this, and how do people get involved, and what can they expect if they are lucky enough to participate?
Yeah, this is a really great event for the community. We do this annually, and we're focusing on dogs right now, but as soon as we open our new cat box building, we'll be doing one for cats as well. But this is really to make sure that you keep your dogs safe and that they're vaccinated. So we're providing free microchips and vaccines for any dogs that come into the St. Pete Free Clinic on Saturday, April 27th.
Well, that's great. So, and it's from 8 a.m. to noon, I guess, or until those things might happen.
Until supplies run out. Yeah. We've got three vets that will be there. So we're hoping to be able to see anywhere between 150 or 200 dogs. So we've got supplies to go up to that level. And then also St. Pete Free Clinic is offering a free bag of human food to go along with each vaccine.
And did I also understand there might be dog food as well as part of this package?
There will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pet Supermarket is providing some dog food. That is on a first come, first serve basis. But we're really happy to have them partnering with us as well.
That's great. And I guess we should note that I think I saw somewhere that this is limited to Pinellas County residents, if I'm not mistaken?
That's correct. Yes. Pinellas County only.
Okay. And obviously it's for dogs this time around, just dogs. And
just dogs, yeah, and two per car. Most of the people will be coming up in their cars. We will have some walk-up spaces as well, but two dogs per party we can do.
Still, it seems like it's great, and if you're lucky enough to be in on the first-come, first-serve thing, it's really a tremendous thing to get the chip and those vaccinations, the dog food and human food. It's like, wow. Now, that's a deal.
That is a deal, and we really believe in supporting our community and making sure that pets can stay home where they belong. You know, summer months are coming up here, and July 4th will be coming up sooner than later, and we want to make sure that if dogs get out, they have a way to get back to their family, and that's what the microchip event is about.
That's so great. So if people are driving around and maybe not able to jot things down, I think they can go to the Friends of Strays website, friendsofstrays.org, and look under events. And I think all the details are provided there, probably elsewhere on social media, I'm guessing, too.
Absolutely. We've got it on our Facebook page, and our website will have all the information.
That's so great. Well, this is really fantastic, and I hope it's a tremendous success. I mean, if anything, it'll be probably too much of a success as you guys run out of stuff before everybody who would love to get in on it can be served, but it sounds like you do it periodically, and there'll be another chance if someone does just happen to miss out this Saturday.
Most definitely, yeah. We try to do it at least once a year. We'll try and be and expand that in the coming years, but great opportunity for the community to get their pets microchipped and vaccinated.
Okay, Dara. Well, this is Dara Eckhart, CEO of Friends of Strays, again, talking about this amazing free microchip and vaccine clinic that's happening this Saturday, April 27th. And again, more information at friendsofstrays.org under events. So thank you so much, Dara.
Thanks, Duncan. Appreciate your helping us spread the word.
For sure. Thank you. Coming up on WNF, it's Slice of Life, the wonderful show hosted by Randy Zimmerman and others. After that, we shift back to music. Programming with Jim Bannon holding forth from 1 to 3, followed by Nancy C. hosting the Wednesday Traffic Jam from 3 to 6 p.m., at which point our terrific Wednesday night block of Latin music kicks in. So that's all coming up shortly here on WNF in Tampa. And so we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. Next Wednesday, we're going to do something a little bit different, I think. My guest will be Aaron Greenwood, the animal journalist and author of dog books and past guest on Talking Animals, whom I've invited back on the show to discuss her experiences losing her longtime dog, Murray, after a while adopting a new dog into the household. It didn't work out because there's cats and other issues. And then eventually trying again, adopting the dog, Judy, which has worked out amidst the cats who also live there. So these are all universal experiences, but it's, I think, important to discuss those and help people kind of get through the tough times of those. So we'll talk about that with Aaron next Wednesday here on Talking Animals on WNF. So then, it's Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. Slice of Life next, followed by Jim and Nancy with music. Thank you so much.